Constellation. Hello, and welcome to Soulful Wildflowers, a podcast where we explore topics and modalities to help raise your vibration, strengthen your internal guidance system, and your connection with self. I'm Carrie, a writer, emotional wellness coach, empath, and explorer of spirituality. My goal is to awaken the lightworker inside of you by discussing topics you may have previously thought out of reach. So welcome to Woo Woo 101, a down-to-earth approach to spirituality. As Dolly Parton once said, wildflowers don't care where they grow. So no matter where you are in your awakening, years in, or just starting to explore, you're exactly where you need to be. We're so grateful you're here and can't wait to grow with you. Welcome. This is another episode of the Soulful Wildflowers podcast. I'm Carrie Fox, your host. And today I am not alone. I am here with Miss Katie P. And Katie P is a former corporate professional, now certified life coach and integrative cancer coach, who helps people navigate the minefields of life by living her life's purpose, helping others find their own. After 14 years of educating hospitals, oncologists, and their staff regarding emerging and supportive cancer treatments, she also helps patients and caregivers understand the often confusing and overwhelming language of cancer so that they can get into the driver's seat of their own life and turn confusion into clarity. Welcome, Katie P.
Woo!
Thanks. This is the first time I felt I needed like a soundboard, like,
I know, right? Or like the fake claps.
Yeah, that's an applause sign.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I am super excited for this conversation. I think many of us have had experience with a loved one or a friend or known somebody who has gone through the experience of cancer and that entire process that goes with it, because it's not just the person who has cancer, but also everybody attached to them goes through this process with them as well. So I'm really excited to just talk about this. I personally have lost somebody very close to me, my father, to cancer. So I know this is going to be an amazing conversation. But before we get started, I would love to just share with the audience a little bit about yourself, about your journey, and how did you get to this title of integrative cancer coach?
Yeah, thank you for that. So happy to be here. Thank you for having me and allowing me to just share what I do, because I think it's just integrative cancer coaching is not really a thing. I'm sort of, it's a few people here and there across the globe that I found. So I think this is just a thing that that's being born right now, right? How did I get here? So 9 years old, a friend of mine comes and she's like, "Oh, Katie, I need this help, like getting with my mom. There's an issue. Can you talk to me?" And I'm like coaching her through it, you know, and my little 9-year-old friend leaves and my little 9-year-old self is waiting. What happened? A week later, she comes back and she's like, "It worked out great." And I'm like, "I feel great." So I was like, that felt awesome. Like, and so there began what I would say a lifetime of coaching, for lack of a better term. I ended up going to college. I got a degree in dietetics and nutrition, but life took me another direction. And I ended up, after a long bunch of things, I worked for Marriott Hotels, and then I jumped into working for Amgen Biotech for 14 years in the cancer world. And I was inspired to do so because at a younger age, my aunt passed away from a blood cancer. Leukemia was hers. Then my grandfather was diagnosed with lung and he passed away. And then my mom was diagnosed with kidney cancer. She's still alive, thankfully. My sister was diagnosed with breasts. Thankfully, she's still alive. And then just a succession of other people's. And I was paralyzed with my mom's diagnosis, because I was like, oh my God, I've already lost all these people. And cancer just seems like this big, bad, terrible thing. And I feel like a victim. I don't understand. I don't know anything about it. And I was like, then I'm going to learn everything there is to know about it. And through a succession, you know, how life takes us, but I made pointed decisions to end up at Amgen and to really, in what was in my mind for 14 years, was helping patients. So I never sold a thing. I talked about new and emerging cancer therapies. And yes, I was a sales rep, but in my mind, I was helping to save my aunt and my mom mm-hmm. and my grandfather. And so I would really just talk about, here are the ways that we can help patients feel better, regardless of what that is, whether it's how to help them with insurance or how to help them, you know, with patient assistance, how to help them find the right treatment, how to help them find the right supportive care. Because my company offered a lot of things in regards to that. So I would sit with people like I am with you and ask a bunch of questions. And then they would tell me, here's what I need for my office or this patient or whatever. And I would say, in my arsenal, here you go. And so in ways, I was always asking questions and providing solutions. That's all that I really ever did. So COVID comes. Okay. So I go on, have a great career, all the things, accoutrements. And I'm like, I'm not really that happy. Right. So COVID happens. And this was in December of 2019. Right. Amgen and I part ways and I'm like, all right, on to the next company. Well, COVID happens and it shuts the whole country down. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I was sort of like, there's something else isn't calling to me. There's something else I should be doing. What is it? And so that led me to actually go to get my life coach certification with a company group called Atmana.
Shout out
to my sisters. And that really was the becoming of my journey to becoming an integrative cancer coach, because, you know, as you know, Heather does a great job of just teaching us the business, but also allowing us the space to become. What I've said before was, you know, there's the life, there's Atmana as the bridge, and then there's who I am to become, right? Atmana was sort of the bridge, and so that's how I got to integrative cancer coach. I graduated that program. I began coaching right away, packages, but someone was referred to me and they're like, you have all this knowledge about like cancer and all the cancers, not just one particular cancer, but lucky enough for me, I sold in an area where we talked about all cancer types. So I know leukemias and the blood cancers, as well as all the solid tumor cancers. I was lucky enough to be in industry at the time when HIPAA laws prevented us from knowing patient names or anything, but I was able to sit in what was called tumor boards with multiple hospitals across the state of Florida, where week after week, year after year, I would just watch the teams make decisions about why pathology, the surgeon, the oncologist for the medical team, all kinds of real, and I love science. So I got a bachelor of science degree, and I love it so much. And so that was just my jam for years. So I go to Atmana and then someone gets referred to me and they're like, you understand the language of cancer. And I'm like, oh, I guess I do understand the language of cancer. So this person came to me. She was a newly diagnosed breast cancer patient in her upper 60s. And she was like, I feel like the victim. I don't know what's happening here. I don't know what's going on. And so we worked together on a couple of different sessions. Our first one was about 90 minutes long. We did a couple of other follow-ups. And basically that is how integrative cancer coaching was born, because it came out of the feedback that I got from her, which was I put her in the driver's seat of her own cancer care journey. And she was like, I was confused and overwhelmed and terrified. And you took my information specific to me and my case, and you gave it back to me in a way that I could understand. And then I was empowered, no longer victimized, but empowered mm-hmm. to partner with my team and drive the car of my own cancer journey. And that to me, I was like, ding, 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 ding. This is so needed. I spent 14 years doing this, and this is so needed. Practitioners don't have the time to do this. They give you the information and they do the best that they can, even if they spend 2 hours with you. I know, not because I was a patient, but because I witnessed family members, you are overwhelmed. Okay. Mm-hmm. You are devastated. You're overwhelmed. You're terrified. You're all the things. And as much as everybody gives you, you leave and then you go sit somewhere for a couple of weeks and you're like, what just happened? Mm-hmm. But then when you go back to your cancer care team, as wonderful as so many of them are, they don't have the time to spend with you. But boy, wouldn't it be awesome if you had somewhere to go that empowered you and who had the time and who understood the language of cancer and diagnoses and pathology and treatment plans that could then just like interpret it. It's like someone bringing me a French textbook and I understand French and you don't. I'm like, oh, this is what the story says. And then I give it back to you.
Yeah. I love the whole concept of putting somebody in the driver's seat, because it's like, you're not necessarily the GPS telling them where to go. Mm-hmm. You're saying, here are your options. Here are the avenues that you can go down, the various destinations you can get to. But ultimately, you are the decision maker. But you're not going to know that you can go left if you don't know left exists in whatever lane you're in. So I love that you're providing visibility and opportunity to people as well. I can only imagine sitting with that conversation of you have cancer or your loved one has cancer. And I'm sure half of the time you're still like, you're tuning it out because you're just processing.
You're in shock.
That word, right?
Yeah.
That word is so heavy. So yeah, absolutely. To have somebody to help like shepherd you through that process and also give you space that for each step that you take, give you space to like digest that.
Right.
And because it's not, you can't just learn it in an hour, right? It's
not
possible.
No. And I offer as a result of exactly what you're saying, and because I spent personally and professionally such a long time in that space, you are exactly correct. So I actually offer two levels of partnering with cancer patients. The first level is what I call cancer interpreter. And that just means, so everybody gets a free 30-minute call with me. So then that just means, come to me, let's talk about what your situation is. Is this a good fit? Would you be interested? Can I help you? That's free for everybody. And then after that, we can make the leap into just one 90-minute call or a 90-minute and two 60-minute calls that are follow-ups. And that's called like cancer interpreter. Basically, I'm just helping you like get in the driver's seat and then you're on your way, right? I kind of leave you to it after I've laid the found, I've given you all the roads and then I leave, right? I'm like, here are all the roads, here are all the options. Good luck to you. The second level I then provide is a deeper dive into what, that's where I call it integrative cancer coaching, because I take all of the knowledge I have, my background and certification in life coaching, you know, a lot of the knowledge I have about dietetics and nutrition, the things that I've learned as I've just learned as a coach, and we get deeper. And that's where I offer the real work if people want to sign up and do it once they get through to recovery, or I can hold your hand and we can do the work all the way through. That's a thing that my clients and I will come up with. But to your point, there have to be levels to offer people, because it's not a one-stop shop thing at all. It's a very personal journey and it has to be tailored to each individual.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you're bringing this life coach aspect into something that historically has been very clinical, right? It's you go to an appointment, they tell you what to do, they give you a pill, they write you a script or whatever, and off you go. But like, it's not just your health that is changing. Your entire life and potentially your course in life is changing. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can't go to work 9 to 5 like you used to, or maybe you're not going to have the strength to lift things, or like your relationships with people, because again, cancer is a very heavy word and it scares some people. And they may be too scared to interact because they don't understand. There's fear behind that word. And so they may shy away from you just because they're scared and they don't understand it. So your relationships change. And how powerful is it to have somebody, not just for the clinical side of it, but also to give you space and say, this is kind of normal for this transformation to happen throughout this process and this journey that you're going
through. And the divorce rate is very high. Let's speak to specific to the breast cancer population. It's very high. A lot of divorces happen in the breast cancer, a lot of cancers, but that just comes to mind to me first. A lot of relationships are blown wide open. It doesn't have to be a bad thing, but I think that's where people like myself come in to to help people navigate. There's so much change. And I think that cancer really can be a learning opportunity for people. You know, it's not about what happens to us in life, but how we react to what's happening to us that makes the difference in our outcome. And people don't have to feel like the victim. You can get in the driver's seat and drive yourself straight to wherever you want to go. It is absolutely possible.
I love that. I love the idea of empowering somebody to take ownership. And it's not just, you know, with cancer and that particular experience, right, but as a life coach, like you really are asking that person to take ownership of your life. If you're unhappy in your job and you're still going there every single day and you're not building your resume or getting more education to move to a different, you know, category, or, you know, you are the only person that can help course correct if you feel that you're off course. But you can absolutely have somebody to stand next to you and support you and say, keep going, you, like, be your cheerleader to encourage you to take the next steps, because it can get scary.
And you need it. Absolutely. And we need each other. That's a thing that I believe that as a society, especially here in the United States, we have gotten so siloed with ourselves and our little singular families. And it's become like we scroll and we're online, but we don't connect. And so we become like, well, I can do it on my own, or I can handle it by myself, whether it be cancer or a job change or a relationship beginning or ending or a move or whatever. We are social beings. We are human beings, or spiritual beings having a human experience is how I like to say it. But we are definitely a social creature. And for anyone who thinks that they can do or should do anything alone, anything, I don't care what it is, you are flat out wrong. Flat out wrong. You have to have support. You have to.
Just because you can do it yourself doesn't mean you have to do it yourself.
That's right. Yeah. And you shouldn't. Like, the idea that I'm strong if I do it alone. This was me. The old me was like, I just do it myself. I don't need any help because I'm strong and I'm an independent woman and I can handle it. Well, that is stupid. That was stupid me. Right. Because what a lonely place that is. First of all,
absolutely.
There is nothing better than collaboration. There's nothing better than, I know Heather gave this example, but it's like in life can be like a roller coaster sometimes, and you're sitting at the front of the top of the peak and you're about to go down. Don't you want to grab two hands on each side and scream? Yeah. Or do you just want to be terrified and go by yourself? Like, we really do need each other. And cancer is such a terrifying process. Absolutely. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. And it doesn't have to stay like that. It does not have to.
And I think with the pandemic, the past couple of years, that has really furthered the problem of us being so isolated, right? And not having that community. Mm-hmm. And so even this past weekend, I was looking to go to an event and I was like, oh, I mean, I could go by myself. And I ended up going with two girlfriends of mine and I had such the best time. Like, I have not laughed that hard in so long, like that big full belly laugh, yeah, where like, yeah, everything hurts, but in, yeah, the best way.
Yeah.
And I was like, I miss that so much. And we carried each other through the weekend. Like, I was floating by the end of it because I just felt like I took off all the backpacks with the bricks in them and set them down. And I was like, I don't need that. I have support. I just have to reach out and ask for it. And it's amazing when you do ask. I think this is one of the biggest things, particularly women, I think, and even men too. They're afraid to ask for help because they think they'll be seen as weak. And I think that, or that they'll lose value, right? Mm-hmm. Because my value is how much can I provide for others? So if I'm not able to provide for myself, then I'm weak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to flip that narrative and say, no, actually, like, we're here to support each other. And on days when I'm not feeling my best and I'm not feeling the strongest, I should be able to reach out and say, who here is in a position where they are feeling like they can help support me? And just when you know, the roles reverse, I should be able to support that other person. And I mean, it's a relationship that we have, but yes, we're so isolated again that we forget how to have relationships.
Even. Yeah. It's a art that is disappearing, but I believe people like yourself and myself, we're bringing it back because it is sorely missed, and it's an absolute unnecessary thing. Like, you're not weak if you ask for help. You're actually genius, brilliant, and you feel so much better. There's nothing worse than thinking I'm in this alone. I can't, you know what I mean? You're never alone. You just have to ask. I mean, I definitely have a couple of really good friends where I'll call and be like, talk me off the cliff. Cause we all, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And then you get some laughs and you get some, you don't need, just a phone call is all I need sometimes, you know?
Yeah. I think our ability to connect with other humans on any level in any form or fashion, any subject, is absolutely necessary for the healing process.
Yes.
Like, you're not meant, and again, going back to the experience of cancer, like, I don't think you're meant to do this alone.
You're not. And there's actually, I've connected with somebody there's somebody I know who studies rare diseases. And we were talking and she said, you know, there's a difference as we're following what's called the patient's journey, the patients who have connection and support and a positive outlook and ways to manage this versus those patients who don't. Same diagnosis, but what's happening up here can affect their outcome. And the reason why is exact in my mind has a lot to do with what you just said. And that's connection goes together with healing and support. It all, we are not just a physical being, right? And we need connection and support and handholding and cheering. And we need to know somebody's got us. And that goes such a long way, not just in the healing of cancer, but to the healing of all the things.
Yeah, absolutely. The imagery that came in my mind is, have you ever heard of like singing to your plants and talking to your plants and it helps them grow and thrive?
I do it.
Naming your plants. That's fine too.
I do it. I swear to God, I'll sit outside and like talk to them and like pet them and stuff like they're a dog or a cat.
I love that. But it's so true. I mean, when you feel nurtured and loved, not just by yourself, because you absolutely should nurture and love yourself, but by other people around you, like watch me bloom, watch me soar, right?
Yeah.
So of course, why wouldn't we want to do that during our own healing journey, whether it's, you know, like a medical, physical healing, but spiritual healing as well. Like, you know, the whole, again, we were talking about cancer doesn't just affect your physical body. It affects your work relationships and your love relationships, family,
children.
Yes, absolutely.
Family. It is all affected. And it is, and it's, you know, as the patient, you just get your head down and you're like, I just want to live, you know, I just want to like get through this and live. But it doesn't have to be so harrowing. It doesn't have to be that way, which is hopefully where I come in. You know, people need a hand to hold.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all the things.
Katie, can you talk a little bit about the process? So I want to acknowledge that, you know, obviously Soulful Wildflowers, I love calling this woo woo 101. Like,
let's
get some basic woo woo in here. Let's I love get some all basic woo. Woo. I do.
Yes. Clearly, so, I'm petting my plants, so I'm down.
I mean, you're in the right spot, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So as you guide somebody through this journey, what comes up for you? Because I know it's not just like you're focused on cancer. Like there are other things that are surfacing that may be a root cause to reactions and how you respond to information and respond to the journey itself. And how do you usher somebody through that process?
So, well, you know, Honestly, usually before I talk to anybody, I'll say like a little prayer and set an intention, you know, and that will be like, let me just connect to this person in whatever way that I'm meant to and I'm supposed to. And let me, it's like a prayer to God and universe, I'll say, right? Mm-hmm. And let me just speak all things for their best and highest good. So I say that before every single meeting, right? Or every single session. It's just a way to open myself up energetically to someone. So I just get clear and open myself up. And then what usually what will happen is, so one of the things I believe about cancer is that, you know, the body is an energetic being and diseases are dis-ease within the soul and the spirit. Now, this does not mean that cancer is somebody's fault. But I believe that people hold on to things energetically because they don't release their emotions. Emotion is energy in motion. Emotions have to be released or they get trapped. And I believe for some individuals that can manifest itself as, you know, a crazy tumor growth or a whatever. And so when I'm talking to someone, usually after the first 30 minutes, I'm already picking up like what their little hurts are, if we'll say it like that. And so then I'm a natural question asker, as I told you. So all the things I've ever done have brought me to here. In my old job, all I did was ask questions. And that's just a natural way that I move in the world. And so already I'm getting like a little like, oh, this is something with his mom or her dad abandoned her or his family gave him the role that doesn't belong to him or whatever. And then I'm like, okay. So then I just sort of pick that up and I just start to ask gentle questions. Hey, what was your childhood like? Hey, how do you feel about that? Tell me more about this. And as they answer, I do Zoom only. I only prefer that because I'm able to read somebody's body language and their energetic responses. And I can tell, okay, this is the road that I go down. And it's super effective. Which is also what I love. I don't like ambiguous appointments, therapies. I've been to therapy myself before. One of the things I didn't prefer or care about it was just super ambiguous talk. I don't like that. I really like to get results. I like to really get to the heart of things. And that's what I do. So I just take the cue from the person across from me energetically, tone of voice, you know, also because I'm getting little hints in my ear or just like a download of a thought will come. And I'm like, oh, okay. And that's it just
kind of guides you a little bit.
Always, 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 always. And I am rarely ever wrong.
I love that.
But I used to do that in my sales job and I didn't know that was like my intuition, you know, mm-hmm. gut feeling, intuition, whatever people, that to me, you know, I call it God and universe talking to me. That's what that is. I just, before in my old life, I always listened to it. Like I'd be like, we're not going to, this meeting's going to go great. And people are like, how do you know? And I'm like, what, you don't?
So I love you have somebody who's coming in for this cancer coaching, right? And then all of a sudden you're talking about their childhood and like, oh, so yeah. You didn't feel seen as a child.
Correct.
And like, what? Like, you know, yeah. They're like totally down a rabbit hole, but I guarantee because I've seen it on their faces before, when you ask a question and they respond and that light bulb goes off and you can see it on their face and they're like, oh, you know, that is the most amazing place to be with somebody because yeah. Then that's where the healing starts.
That's where the healing starts. Everyone thinks it's in the, that's why I offer two levels because I'm going to say I offer two levels. I'll guide you and send you on your way or the real work can begin. What do you want to do? Right? Because you have to be ready to show up and do the work with me because you're going to do the work. I'm just going to shine flashlight or hold your hand or, you know, whatever. So you have to be willing to do the work, but it's such a beautiful place to you, you know, when you see your client and their light bulb goes off and they're like, this just 2 days ago has happened. I'm with one of my clients and I'm having this conversation and the light bulb's like, mm-hmm, you know, and I can't argue with that. And it's such a magical place. You know why? It's such the word intimate comes to me. It's such an intimate, sacred space to be there, to be divinely guided to land there, for them to feel so seen and so heard and so understood. Yeah. It's like magic being in this little tiny place where all of their essence is and you're there honoring them and you're saying, I see you, I understand you, and I'm going to help you. That is, to me, it like brings tears to my eyes, because it is humbling and it's the most honorable thing that as I continue to do this work that I'll ever, ever do, literally, it's magic.
You know, when you are doing the essence, like the individual's mm-hmm. essence, I think that's really powerful, because so many of us walk around with masks on. Mm-hmm. I am this person, you know, I am this version of myself for this person and this version, you know, I can only be this way with this person. And to be able to be in a space where you can take all those masks off and truly be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the ultimate vulnerability, is to truly be ourselves. And like, let's be honest, coaching is messy. Like, it's not sunshine and rainbows. Like, we're getting down to the nitty gritty dark stuff. And like you said, it's shining the light on the darkness, on the shadows. That's what shadow work is, right? To mm-hmm. walk with somebody, handhold them through that process.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, imagine what the other side of that looks like. So this was actually something that came up this weekend at this event that I went to that I thought was extremely powerful. And it's, you know, we're so afraid of going through the process that we stay in the pain of wherever we are in our life, whether you're in a bad relationship or dis-ease in your body, you know, we stay in the pain because we're afraid of walking through it. Mm-hmm. But that's how you get to the other side. Like, you got to dive straight in head first. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how amazing to have somebody with you that says, I've already been there.
Oh, yeah.
I know what this is like, because mm-hmm. I guarantee you there isn't a coach, at least I know at Mana, who hasn't gone through this process already themselves, who hasn't been in the darkness. And that's the whole purpose why we're here, is to help other people through it, because we've been there, we know. And to be divinely led, like you said, that's such an, I don't know, an intimate is a very good word for it. It's just allowing somebody to be vulnerable and truly take that mask off. It's a beautiful process.
It really, truly is. And it's, I mean, I've said this before, I'm never going to, I remember somebody talking to somebody about retirement and I was like, what? I was like, I'm not retired. There's no retire. This is my life's work. Like, this is my purpose for living on the earth right now. Like, there's no retire. Why? This is freaking awesome. I don't ever stop doing this. Like, this is like magic. I'm retire so I can go sit on a beach. Then give me a laptop and a phone. I'll be on the beach, like talking to my people, you know? So I just love it so much. I mean, there's not what better thing is there to do than help people love themselves, find their way home to themselves. Yes. But there's nothing better, but that's how it happens. I mean, how does it happen for you? Same way you get like, and then you're like, oh, okay. Like,
yeah,
I always go here because I feel like it comes into my head.
You're making me feel like I'm like talking to somebody who's not there. I mean, I guess that's what it is. That's so interesting. Now that I'm thinking about this, mine's more like in front of me.
Mine's
visual. So
I get words and pictures.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Oftentimes I find myself like, I'll have to look away or like close my eyes, cause I get overstimulated, like watching somebody and hearing and seeing, I'm like, it's too much.
It's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do love it. I think that, it's not an easy road to get here. You know, it's a lot of letting go of, you know, when you move through a world where you're taught to check the boxes and do the things, because this is successful and this is what a good human looks like and a good mother looks like and a good, you know, daughter looks like, and you have all these requirements that you're told from a very young age to make sure you check all these boxes. And then all of a sudden I hit this place and I was like, well, I checked all the boxes and like, there's a chunk missing here. And I don't even know how to name that, but I had to go on a journey to find it. And that's where the real work begins, you know. But there's a quote that I go by is, everything you've ever wanted is on the other side of fear. And then I added Absolutely. To that, yet there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Fear is just a word that we make up and attach meaning to. It's not a real thing. It's a thing that keeps us in the box checking place, but it's fake, because the minute you hold somebody's hand and you go to this place where you want to heal yourself, the fear disappears. It's gone. And you're like, I can actually do this. And I kept myself over there for a fake thing that I named fear and constricted myself for.
Talk about giving somebody the power back.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly how I feel about that. And so, you know, I just plug into everybody I sit across from energetically. And then I'm just like, they'll tell me where to go. I guess that's how it happens for me. Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, speaking of like fear, I think when you start going through that process and you start facing your fears, I don't want to say you're a fear junkie. That's not quite what, like, you're not going to be dirt bike riding and going off hills and stuff. But it's like, when you get to that point where the fear comes up, you kind of get excited. You're like, oh, okay, we're going to learn a new lesson today. Like, what's on the other side of this? Because you know that every time there's something even better and more magical than you thought was even possible on the other side of that fear. Mm-hmm. And that's like, when you get to that place, that's a juicy place to be, because you've gone through the shadow work. You've done the tiptoeing. Now you're like, I can pick up the speed a little bit. I'm gonna dance my way through it.
That's right. And I think what also begins to happen is that you shed the idea, for me anyway, now I don't even have the word fear associated with my learning, right? I recognize these lessons for what they are. And so I immediately go to the place where, what am I supposed to learn here? This is happening for me, not to me. What's my lesson? And so, but that's, it's like a muscle that you develop, right? You move through life and you don't have, you know, biceps until you start working them out. It's the same thing. Like, it's heavy lifting in the beginning, until all of a sudden it's just not. And it's just not, because now, to your point, you're like excited. You're like, okay, baby, I'm in school today. What do we got? Right?
If we could replace the word fear with experience.
Yeah.
I think, like, what am I going to experience today?
Yes.
Like, that flutter comes up and you're like, resist it a little bit and you're like, all right, what kind of experience are we doing? It's like going up the roll, like you were saying earlier, the roller coaster, and you get to the tippy top and you're like, you kind of clench a little
bit. You're like, oh God.
You start going down and you're like, woo.
And then what happens when you get, I know for me, what happens to you when you get to the bottom?
You're just like, I don't know. You got that energy going through you and you're like, that wasn't so bad. I got this.
And then I say, I want to go do it again. Can we get back in line?
Yeah, that's so true. Even though when you're first in line, you're like, oh, I don't know.
And then it's the same thing. I get to the top and I'm like, why did I do this?
Bad decision.
This was so bad. This is awesome. Yeah. Every single time. Same thing. But at least now I know I'm going to go get back in line. Before, I would be like beating myself up. Why are you getting back in line for something else? Like, haven't you had enough? And now I'm like, no, because now I understand that's the fun of it. Right.
That's such a great analogy for life in general, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
just be a roller coaster. Like, you're there for the ride. You're there for the experience. Like, I truly think, at least for me, that our purpose here, like, you know, we always talk about life purpose. That is one of the biggest questions that people ask, is what is my life purpose? And like,
I used to ask it.
I hate to say it, but like, you're already in it. You're already living. If you are here on this earth living, you are in your purpose.
Yeah.
I think there's opportunities to make it more joyful and make it, you know, to learn and grow and thrive, but like, you're already here in it. You just make the most of it.
And I think people just want some direction, right? So when I'm not coaching cancer patients, I just have a couple of questions that I'll ask people to sort of help them. Okay. So just, what are your dreams? What are your hopes? What are your passions? What makes you feel most alive and most creative? So I'll start with my clients. Fill this out for me. Because people are like, I don't know. I don't even know what I want. I'm like, you answer these five questions, we got somewhere to start. Because people are like, well, I love being with my friends. I'm like, being with your friends is not a passion. Passion is, I like to sing, I like to dance, I like to cook, I like to run, I like to travel, I like to explore, I like to talk, I like to read. Those are passions. Being with your friends is like cuddling up with a soft blanket, you know? So I think people just, we have been so like taught to check the boxes. We don't stop to be like, to your point, okay, well, I'm in it. Now that I'm like asking questions, what do I want to do? What do I actually want to do? What will fulfill me? What would make me feel fulfilled? And it's just clarity sometimes about that.
So many of us go through and check those boxes because we think that that box checking is going to bring the happiness.
Right.
And then you get to the end of that and you're like, but I'm still unhappy. And you just spent that whole 10, 15 years, right? Being unhappy because thinking you'd get to the next box.
Well, you just, it's, happy. You're like, I'm going to take the vacation. It'll make me happy. That was great. But okay.
Now
I'm
going
to buy the
back.
House. I got to go back. We're going back to that vacation every year. Definitely the same place though. Cause it was so awesome. We got to recreate it. Okay. Okay. We're going to get a bigger house. Cause you know, that'll make me happy. Okay. We got the bigger house. Okay. But it's the car. Okay. We're getting the better car. Okay. It's those shoes. I needed them and you're on this hamster wheel, but you're not feeding yourself. Like you're never stopping to ask, what are my hopes? What are my dreams? What are my passions? What makes me feel most alive?
And it's so interesting because now that I hearing you say this, right? Like we're buying the things to make us happy. And we live in such a consumer driven society, particularly here in the US, that it's like, here's the pill that'll fix you. Here's the workout, you know, the diet plan, the next you know, big thing that'll fix you.
Sorry. And,
no worries.
Sorry about
but
that.
But it doesn't, you know, we get the things, we get the pills, we get the diet plan, we do it for a little bit. And then at the end we realize, well, I'm still unhappy.
Yeah. You feel like, it's because there's a list of expectations that are set. Right. And whose expectations are those? Do they belong to us?
I love that question.
Or are they somebody else's idea of happy success? Who is giving this to us? And then we adopted it as our own. That's the real question. And that's where you got to go back to. And I think that's where like the intuitive coaching piece comes in, is that you just start to ask super simple questions. And then you can see people like you can totally, you know, start to read somebody and then that's it. You're off to the races. So.
Yeah. And most people don't take the time to reflect. They're like, that sounds like work, because they're so exhausted from working and doing all the things, you know, that actually like thinking about, well, what do I do for fun? Or what does make me happy and brings me joy? Like those types of things that feels like work. And everybody's so burnt out, decision fatigue, that they don't want to do the work. But sometimes, I mean, you got to do the work in order to get through to the other side.
Yeah. You have to do the work. So that's, I think, you know, to me, that's where the coaching comes in, no matter what the task at hand is. That's really where we help usher people to the place that they want to be, right? Whether that's their journey through cancer care or motherhood or family or work or whatever, it's the knowledge that you can do the work with help. That goes right back to, in my mind, to exactly where we started, which was you don't have to do it alone, right?
Absolutely.
You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to. We just think we do. We just think we do. I mean, but you go over to other countries and cultures, and like a friend of mine just had a long stint in Morocco. She was there for 6 months because the country, she went on vacation and the country got shut down while she was there. And so she just recently came back and she was like, first of all, the consumerism here is ridiculous. Like Americans just buy things, which is what you were saying. And then the idea that everybody's like so alone and trying to do everything by themselves, right? And she's like, over there, you got like mom and dad, like everybody's living together. And you know, it's just the family is integrated and the community is integrated. And she's like, and the houses are tiny. So everybody's spending they're meeting up at the plaza and having coffee. And like, it's a whole different way of moving through the world. And I don't know. I tend to think that's why, you know, Americans in particular are just so like lost and sad right now. It's the way that our society is sort of set up where we're told it's awesome, but it's super isolating.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like we're just getting to a place where we're starting to crumble the foundation of those different ideologies and really starting to ask questions.
Yes.
And, well, why are the cancer rates so high? Or why do I have to go to school, get married, have children in that order at this age range? And you know what I mean? It's like, but why? Yeah. And I think that's a really powerful place to be. And that's usually where the journey starts, right? Is there's this awareness that you're not happy or you're not fulfilled, or, you know, there's something more out there. And you start asking the questions and that's when it's like, okay, well, how do I start this journey of self-discovery and really finding out who I am and what I want to do and what's best for me?
One of the things I said to a client of mine, like a couple of days ago, I said, you are going to let go of the person you thought you were supposed to be and step into the person that you were meant to become. That is what we're doing when you work with me or hopefully any coach, but definitely for me, because we're leaving behind who we thought we were supposed to be. You start asking the questions, like you're saying, you start wondering about the whys, and then you start the journey to who you're meant to become. That's where the magic starts to happen, right there in that spot.
I love this so much. And it ties back to what we were saying earlier, where, you know, take off the backpack full of bricks, take off the masks that you wear constantly, and like learn for yourself, because I guarantee if you're starting to ask those questions, like you don't know who you are. You don't know who you want to be. Like that's a beauty. You don't even realize half the time that you're wearing the masks. Like it's just coming to realization and the awareness that, wait a minute, right? And the question asking.
Yeah. So yeah. What are you, finish what your thought? Cause I'm.
No, I'm just thinking like that's the start of the journey, and that's a really cool place to be. And I think collectively, particularly in the US, I'm noticing a lot of people are stepping into that journey, and it's really exciting because like, just think, you know, for me particularly, I have three young girls and like, they are loud and crazy and wild, and like they've got, you know, tutus and cowgirl boots, but they're also, you know, tiaras, but they're running on four wheelers and dirt bikes. And I'm like, yes, all the yeses.
Yeah.
Tear up that box as much as you possibly can. And I don't want that, like, I catch myself constantly, you know, use your inside voice or, you know, saying these things, because that's how I was raised. Right.
Right.
Where you're quiet and you speak when you're spoken to, all the things. Mm-hmm. So it's like, but why? And so
Who told me that's what good looks like? That's somebody else's point of view. Like, who gave me that idea? And I think that we can move through life with kindness and grace. That's what I try. I have two daughters also who are crazy and wild and loud and opinionated. And that's right. Yep. They sure are. I love it that way. But what I also teach them is do it with kindness and grace. Don't try to steal somebody else's magic. I always tell them, don't try to be stealing. Don't be a magic thief. Let people have their magic. And you can move through the world with kindness and grace. Just do those two things. Be kind. That being kind, by the way, means having a reverence for another human being. It doesn't mean, in my mind, let somebody run me over. Be a nice girl. I don't say that. Be a kind human. I say that because the words matter. And the difference between yes. those two meaning is great. They can be kind and still be firm in who they are and what they believe, but they can treat others with kindness and grace. You know, I think that's really important because I am like you. I want my two girls to stay wild and free and opinionated and strong. And who you're not going to tell me, I'm not going to give them boxes to check, I think is what you're saying. And I'm
yeah, on board. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because who made the boxes anyway, right?
I don't even know. Who is this day? I'm over it, though. Sick of the days. We're here.
We're done with this.
We've got five girls between the two of us who are rule breakers.
Taking over the world.
Breaker, rule breaker, nonsense stomping girls.
Heaven help. You know, I say heaven help the men or women that they fall in love with, but you know what? They're got to meet them. You got to meet them. You got to be par, man.
That's what I said. I was like, listen, if God and universe is making a me or the girls or whatever, then there's balance in everything to the yin to the yang. Like, so I think that our girls will be fine. I just think it's, you know, us being a part of rewriting what it means to be,
yes.
you know, a healthy person that moves through the world, you know, and then modeling that for our daughters and teaching them that so that then so on and so on and so on. I mean, change happens one action at a time, you know, mm-hmm. one teaching at a time, one modeling of behavior at a time. Yeah, I think that's what we're doing. Yeah.
And as well with, you know, the individuals that come to you that want to be shepherded through their own yeah. change process.
Yeah.
So Katie, we are actually up at the end of the hour here. This
see that.
That like flew.
Flew every time, girl. Every time.
Every time I talk to you.
Every time but, I talk to you.
You know, if there are people who are listening to this podcast, if you're live with us on Facebook and like you feel that you are here, you have arrived, you are got the awareness and you know, like I'm questioning the things. And you want to reach out to KDP, Katie, where can they reach you?
Yeah. So www.askkdp.com. So that's askkkatiep.com. That's my website. There are links to just regular coaching. There's a whole sub link to just the cancer coaching experience. It lays out the two levels that I talked about. My email is katie@askkdp.com. And honestly, I give out my real phone number, which is 813-944-8439. Give me a call. I actually answer my phone. I sure do.
I
I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram and all the things. Just find me, Ask Katie, just Google Ask KDP and you'll see it there. But yeah, call me on the phone and if you know, we'll talk. Yeah.
And we'll put that information in the show notes so folks can reach you if they're listening to this. But Katie, thank you so much. I love our conversations. Mm-hmm. I always feel so like jazzed and empowered after speaking mm-hmm. with you. And I'm not even a client, right? Like I'm just here having a conversation. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. I loved it as usual. I love you. And anybody who works for you is for you. Well, that too, but with yeah, you is that works. That's fine. You're like, whatever. I got an empire. No, but just, they're just lucky. So
thank you.
All the best to you, sister.
Same to you. Okay. Until next time.
Until next time.
Bye. Bye.